Read this. What's that say?
Call in 10 minutes.
Call in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Does that say, I'll call you in 10 minutes? Call in 10 minutes.
Call in 10 minutes.
We got a lot of moving parts. Wait, Mike Boniger come?
No,
right now.
No.
Yes. Tell people the bourbon raffle. Where do they get tickets? Come on. Push.
We got 3 days left.
Get in there on the microphone and say it. You come in here, and I want you to say it.
3 days left. Get your tickets.
You got 3 days to buy. Where at?
Boddickerfoundation.org.
We need to sell tickets. We have bottles worth how much? $1,000? $2,000?
They added a new one.
What'd you say?
$3,500.
Get on the mic. What's this one?
The new one we got out, Mr. Sam's.
Yeah.
You can find it. It goes for about $2,500. But to find it, you can't find it. So it goes for about $3,500 if you can find
$3,500?
It.
$3,500?
Yeah.
These raffle tickets
special
are only $5. Boddickerfoundation.org. Where's the money go?
Children's Mercy.
It's for the kids. Boddickerfoundation.org. Raffle tickets. If you could only buy one, buy one. If you could buy 100, buy 100. They're $5 each, and you could end up winning a bottle of bourbon that's worth over $3,000. How many bottles total?
52. And I'm hoping, I keep 52? Talking about my family to throw in a few more because we have some extra. Yeah.
All right.
You might win more than one bottle.
Yeah.
Or if you're like me, they might draw your name and then throw it away.
Never. You're not there.
Right.
Matter.
Yeah, you don't know now.
I know.
You got nothing.
No, I'm not winning nothing now.
That's right. Thank you, Mike Boddicker. Boddicker's here.
He actually has a real baseball
He met Scott Carroll. Scott Carroll said the only thing that matters is velocity.
And strikeouts.
All right?
And war.
That's all we care about around here.
All hell is
And then
loose.
Scott Carroll says, man, I used to like when Gary Leesab would call on the show. I said, okay, Scott Carroll, how's this sound to you? Gary Leesab, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Great to be here. And when it says call you in 10 minutes, it's one of those things.
No, it doesn't say call you.
You left out a couple of words there. Yeah. Call, when you're talking to me, and I have never called. You guys have always called.
It says call in 10 minutes.
I know. So you're like saying, Gary, would you like to be on and talk about the severe weather threat and all this? And I said, sure. You go, call in 10 minutes.
Yeah, call.
So I thought you were going to call me.
I can't. I'm on the air.
I've been standing by for an hour.
I can't do nothing. I can't call. Anyway, Scott Carroll is a new contributor to the show, a Liberty native, and he pitched for the Chicago White Sox. He played football at Purdue and Missouri State, and he's a fan of yours, Gary Leesak. So why in the hell don't you say hi to him?
Big fan, Gary.
Hey, Scott. Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Big fan.
Wow. Hey, how about those 10-6 Royals? I mean, come on.
Let's go. Hey, they got a great series coming up.
That's right.
It's
the Scott Carroll series, the team he followed as a young boy versus the team he pitched for as a man, and he's split right down. Right now he's wearing a jersey. It's half White Sox, half Royals. Can't believe it.
Wow.
House divided. Unbelievable.
You got to be house divided because you did play for the White Sox, you know. Yeah, I think he understands we do not like the White Sox.
That's right.
It's okay. It's all right. But we love you, Scott. So
thanks, man. How's Colorado treating you?
It's amazing. 85 inches of snow at my place.
That sounds horrible.
And at my place,
okay, now,
it's dreamy.
I reached out to you because I keep hearing whispers of some bad weather coming this way. And I know that even though you are in Colorado, you still have a watchful eye on Kansas City in case anything happens here. So what is there something getting ready to happen, or what's going on?
Well, remember, I founded the company Weather 2020.
Well, really?
LLC, weather2020.com, and it emphasizes the LRC. So we are a global weather company, and Kansas City is always going to be number one, okay? So when something's going on, I'm going to let you guys know.
Thank you.
But the setup for today is interesting. There's literally no chance of thunderstorms at all through 6 p.m., so you can just go about your day. South winds, there's a warm front just south of you. Very humid conditions just south of Olathe right now. This warm front, which is the leading edge of the warm air, is going to lift north into the northern part of Missouri this evening. And usually the thunderstorms will form, what Jeff Penner used to always say, after the chief leaves. So like at 10:30 p.m. when there's a warm front. So more likely between 9 and 10:30 p.m. is when thunderstorms will form, and they could form near Kansas City at that time and then rapidly move towards Maryville, Chillicothe, and up across the Iowa border by midnight. And so there's a small threat then. Then there's going to be a band of thunderstorms out west that will be developing around sunset. They call it sunset magic out in the western part of the plains where storm chasers go out there and there's nothing. And all of a sudden, right at sunset, boom, thunderstorms form. That could happen out of a western Kansas. And then we'll get the leftovers tomorrow morning, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the morning. And so those leftovers could lead to a few showers and thunderstorms, a possibility of a severe thunderstorm tomorrow morning. So that's what you're looking at. 84 degrees today, windy, becoming humid, and the chance of thunderstorms more likely sunset or after.
So tomorrow, 4 o'clock, track meet in the Northland? Okay, thank you.
Be a little breezy. Little breezy.
Also, breezy. Jake wants you to know that at the last 311 concert he went to, he smoked a little Sunset Magic. It was just fine. just right.
Well, yeah, I know. Jake, he's got that supply of Sunset Magic. But anyway.
Former Jake. I don't partake anymore.
Thank you.
Will we be under a tornado watch or anything like that tonight, Gary?
There will be one to your west. I don't think so. There might be one late tonight, tomorrow morning, probably a severe thunderstorm watch, depending on how it looks, but probably not. So there's a slight chance of that, but the last watch, nothing happened inside of it, so we'll see what happens this time. But Boddicker, how are you?
He's right. What do you say, Mike? Now he's in the control room.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
But you're not around. I tell you what, the weather's been great.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's so nice. You know, that's what I did.
I think that was meant as a compliment.
I went right to the Farmer's Almanac and just had everything plotted out, and everything is perfect.
Oh, boy, that Farmer's Almanac. It is 25% accurate, so I'm glad you still use that thing, but you are a farmer at heart. Anyway, good luck with the Boddicker Foundation and the bourbon. 52 bottles this year. That's amazing. And so everyone...
Tickets, Gary?
Yeah?
Buy the tickets, Gary.
I'll buy some. I'm going to buy some.
Thank you, Gary.
When you come back to town, you can pick it up.
There you go. That's a deal. 67 degrees right now. It's very close to you. You know what? Have a good day, guys.
That's Gary Lezak. Very abrupt end to the call. But Gary Lezak, who gave us the latest on the weather in Kansas City.
I didn't even get a chance to ask him if he's been to that downtown ballpark.
Well, I didn't tell him. He just
held up all
this. Gary, you there? What happened?
I'm still here. What do you want to know?
Jake wants to know if you go to that downtown ballpark in Denver.
I have not been to the baseball park, but I've been to the Chiefs Broncos game where the Chiefs got clobbered.
Yeah, so, not what I asked.
No.
The answer is no.
No.
All right, Gary.
All right. Every time I look at downtown Denver, I get disgusted. Remember, I'm a Chiefs fan.
That's right. That's what I wanted to hear. That's Gary Lezak. Was that thrilling, Scott Carroll, to be a part of a Gary Lezak segment? That's
so good. So good. Yeah. I have a group of friends in Liberty. We just
love
Gary.
Check that one off the bucket list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a big one. So the Royals, they go to New York and lose 2 out of 3 against the Mets, and it's so early in the season, and I'm already extremely irritated about the lack of run support given to Cole Reagans. What's this guy got to do to get a little bit of support? 6 shutout innings, and all they could muster was a solo home run from Vinny P in the 9th inning. It wasn't enough. Man, that's got to be,
Nice to see him swinging the bat well now.
Right. That's a good bounce back. Uh-huh. But it's just... isn't that how it always goes? You know, it seems like we saw Greinke suffer from that many times in the past when he was pitching great. Yeah. You know, he would go out there and shut teams down, and well, for whatever reason, the Royals couldn't provide him with enough support. Hopefully, that's not going to be a pattern. But man, what else could you expect from or ask of Cole Reagans yesterday?
He's a stud. Yeah, I think. You know. But he recognized. I mean, as a top line number one starter, you know that you're going to take the ball out there every fifth day and just dominate and try and give your team the best chance to win. And whatever happens on the run support side, it is what it is. He's not going to get bummed out or too worried about his team not coming to pick him up because, you know, even the previous start where he had at home, they came back and supported him there and gave him three or four runs to to get him back in the ball game. So it's definitely a team game when it comes to that. But he's continuing to shove it, and I love watching him pitch.
Okay, so be honest. If you were ever going through a stretch where maybe the run support wasn't there, did that ever, I don't want to say irritate you, but did you put, if the offense was struggling, did you find yourself, whether you could control it or not, putting more pressure on yourself? Like, okay, I gotta be perfect here. I can't give anything up because we're just not swinging the bats very well.
Yeah, I mean, there's some instances where you feel a little bit tighter, where it's like, man, you really got to be on your game and know that you got to pick your team up as well. It's because that's what's part of it is taking the ownership of when you're a pitcher is like, listen, the bats aren't always going to be alive, so I got to keep our team in it and really execute here. But yeah, it makes those pitches even more important and that execution when your team's not putting runs on the board, it's still your job to hold the team to zero or limited runs. But they'll bounce back, and that's, I think it's a good time with the White Sox coming or them going to Chicago. It's going to be a good series to get back on track.
And they were swinging the bats well. That's the problem. It just, they don't seem to do it for him. Nate Buchady.
I remember James Shields telling me he was going to punch me in the face if I asked him about run support.
That's what James Shields brought to the clubhouse. Yeah, that's what they're
actually
missing.
Didn't tell me directly. He told Swanee to tell me, you know, tell that little so-and-so.
How excited was Swanee to tell you that, by the way? Did he run to find you?
Yeah. I was like, well, now I kind of want to go ask him about run support again. But
so the four games that Cole Reagans, and by the way, it's just silly. That's why it's ridiculous to ever really measure a starting pitcher's effectiveness by wins and losses.
Right.
He's 0-1 with a 1.93 ERA.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
Well, the year that Greinke won the Cy Young, what was his? It was probably what he had like 10 wins.
Oh yeah, look back that up. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. So when he won the Cy Young, he obviously an incredible year, but the wins weren't that high at all because he wasn't getting a ton of runs.
First start, he goes 6 innings, gives up 2 runs, and they lose 4-1. So he got 1 run there. Second game, he 6 1/3 innings, no runs. And they lose 4-3. Then was actually his worst start was when they won against Houston.
Right, that's when they came back.
5 innings, 10 hits, 3 earned runs, but he gutted his way through that and minimized the damage. And so then now this is his second start where he's thrown at least 6 shutout innings and doesn't get the win, and they don't win the game. So they're 1-3 when he starts. And they've lost by scores of 4-1, 4-3. They won 4-3, and they lose 2-1. Overall for the season, 23 1/3 innings, 21 hits, 29 strikeouts, only 7 walks, a 1.93 ERA. And so he early on, 4 starts, he's living up to it. Just the results in the win column aren't there. Not his fault.
No, not at all. And they'll come. It'll come. The team's going to continue to pick him up, so I'm not worried about that one bit. So he'll continue to execute, and obviously the stuff's there, and he's throwing really well. So he just needs to continue to focus on that.
Do we need Nate Buchady to go into the clubhouse and ask him about run support?
Zach Greinke went 16-8 the year he won the Cy Young. He had a 2.16 ERA.
Okay.
So, I mean, 16-8 is a good record, but it's not as good as a 2.16 ERA, should say, because and the thing about that year, too, that I remember, I'm looking up the numbers on it. That was 2009. That team got off to a really good start, and then they – so, like, we talk about, like, is this team – for real, you know, they were 12-10 at the end of April. I'm going to look and see what their record was. At one point, they were like, yeah, they were 18-11 on May 7th. And I remember at that time thinking, oh, man, this Royals team, you know, we're already into May and they're 7 games above 500, looking good. They ended up losing 90-plus games that year. Let's see what their final record was. So
I think we do need to send Nate into the clubhouse.
Yeah, they lost.
See, the home run's about the only mistake that you made. What pitch was it? What happened there?
It was a fastball. Yeah, anybody else have other questions?
Yeah. Right. You know who that was?
World Series.
Was that Chris Young?
Chris Young.
He'd had enough of this guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This little fellow over here asking questions.
Yeah, anybody else have other questions?
Did anyone else have other questions?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I will say, so the offense is, they've scored double digits quite a bit this season already. So it's just a blend. When you're facing, you know, good pitching too, it's going to happen. And you can't always pair up Reagan's against their number one just because the way things shake out with other teams' lineups. And their schedules.
Biden just loves
this. Yeah, there's nobody that likes hearing.
See, Scott's trying to change the subject. He's move on and have a real conversation.
But that's all Biden cares about is he wants to hear.
Look at Nate looking like an idiot.
Wants to wear you out.
Yeah, Chris also, like, yeah, so somebody else asked a couple questions. And then as we were breaking up the little scrum, he just looked at me and he goes, you know damn well that was a fastball. I said, well.
But these people out there didn't. You're asking for people that don't know.
Well, I appreciate well-thought-out questions, and that wasn't one.
Did reporters ever piss you off or just irritate you? Be honest. Just be honest. This is
there could be some really stupid questions. Yeah, absolutely.
Like what's a dumb question? You're like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's just some that just, like, it doesn't really, I don't know. It's like they don't understand, like, when they say the question out loud, like, did you just hear your question out loud? Because that seems very...
Was Chicago tough? Like, the media, were they tough? Were they tough to deal with? Or
I mean, they weren't tough to deal with. It's a bigger market for sure. Right. So anything that you do is going to get, kind of blasted more to the sites and to attention because it's the third largest market. So,
but yeah, a little bit different than Kansas City.
Yeah. The idea of run support, sometimes, you know, you'd say, well, if you're the ace, you're going to have poor run support because you're going up against, you know, the other team's ace.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't the case yesterday. They called that guy up.
Yeah. Jose.
Say it.
Bateau.
Hmm?
Bateau?
Bateau.
Say it. Yeah, you're the international.
I would guess it's Bateau.
Okay.
It's spelled Bateau. It's B-U-T-T-O with the accent over it, so Bateau.
But no.
But yeah, that wasn't the case. They weren't facing the other teams.
Right.
So, but I don't know. I mean, I know the reason that James Shields didn't like being asked about it is because he doesn't want to be put in a position to criticize his teammates, you know. And the pitchers are always going to say, look, I'm not getting any run support now, but there's probably going to be a game later in the year where I give up four or five runs and the offense picks me up. And so... that's got to be the mindset, right? Like he's not worried about it right now.
No, nor should he be. Again, this is still the Royals are playing good baseball. I mean, you're not going to win every single baseball game, but they've been in a chance to win almost every single baseball game, and they have scored a lot. Like before Boddicker was giving you some razz, and the offense has scored a lot of runs, like 10 or more runs in quite a few games.
Yeah.
So they are scoring runs, and they'll continue to work through some of these things when Reagan's is pitching.
Look at run differential. The Royals are the best run differential in the American League.
Whoa.
Plus 37. Because they've had, like you said, they've had some blowout wins.
Yes.
I mean, blowout wins. Are you a big believer in that? Like that's a bit bigger indicator as to whether or not it's fluky that you're winning games? Because some people say, well, look, if you run different, you can. Detroit is three games over 500. They have a negative run differential right now.
Yeah.
Minus two.
Well, I think we still need to let it play out for over the course of, you know, this next month, too, because it's still really early. But, I mean, there's still good signs, things to be optimistic about. Good momentum. You got the White Sox on the table now for the next three. This is a good opportunity to get back on track and beat up on a bad team.
And there's something. Go ahead, Steve.
2-13. I mean, that's got to be miserable.
Oh, that clubhouse is miserable right now. I can promise you that. Those guys aren't. That organization obviously needed a shake up, but those guys aren't excited about going to play every day because they're so bad.
I mean, hell, the Royals went through it last year. I mean, we know what it's like to watch a team like that.
Well, it's such a long season. I mean, you know, the adage that the best thing about baseball is there's a game every night, but the worst thing about baseball is there's a game every night. When you're 2-13 and you're not even out of the month of April, the season looks really long, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
This is going to be a long year.
It's over.
Yeah, over.
Yeah, so we're going to be playing. We're going to be trudging into the clubhouse every day, coming up, you know, with individual reasons to be motivated that day and all that stuff. But you already know you're out of contention.
Right. I mean, I think they got a rookie starting tonight, too. You'll see a lot of fresh faces and young kids.
So one of the things I was going to ask you about that, because this Bateau that pitched last night just got called up. I had a theory. I can't back it up. But when I used to travel with the Royals, they had a lot of guys like that. They'd call up a guy that maybe was kind of a 4A pitcher or somebody who hadn't had a chance yet. And his first outing out, he would look dynamite. For some reason, the name that always sticks out to me was Bobby Keppel. There was a guy named Bobby Keppel that got called up, and his first outing, and it might have been against St. Louis, he was just, he shoved, as Jake likes to say. And
I do not.
Everybody got excited. And then it was like, okay, now everybody's seen him a couple times, and then he you know, the proof was in the pudding after that. Is there anything to a guy getting called up, maybe that the team hasn't seen before, if he's a rookie or a guy that's, you know, been in the minor leagues making his first start, that is difficult? Does that explain at all why the Royals might have had a tough day yesterday against somebody they didn't know as much about?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like he had swing and miss stuff to also. Yeah. So, I mean, he has talent for sure, and that's why he got called up and he's there. But, yeah, not really having a true scouting report on any pitcher is going to benefit the pitcher. And then the more times you see him and you know his arsenal and kind of what he likes to do is going to benefit the hitters more. So that's obviously where the art and the execution of real pitching comes into play. But, yeah, it looks like that pitcher the other night had really good swing and miss stuff. So it can benefit the pitcher who just gets called up sometimes.
All right, so I wanted to ask you about this. We talked a lot about injuries and the argument and debate between MLBPA and Major League Baseball over what the biggest cause is for injuries. So now there's another complaint from Red Sox closer Kenley Jansen. He had a tough outing. He still got the save, but he gave up a couple of hits and it was a bumpy outing. And he says, I don't hit guys. I don't walk people this much. And I started to get frustrated. Any of the balls that came in, I just throw them back until I find a good ball, and it's just brutal. He said the bullpen balls were better rubbed than game balls. It's embarrassing. It's been a while. I've been playing in this league, and from the beginning of my career until now, it's getting worse. It's been an issue the whole year. I've been talking to my teammates. They feel the same way. First pitch, get out of my hand. I don't know where it's going. Second pitch, the same thing. I tried to throw a ball down the middle. They just keep going down. It's tough trying to make an adjustment, and also you have the clock ticking. And so he said finally, after he threw a couple of balls out, he got some of the rubbed-up balls, and they were better. And so have you – I don't know how often you talked to any guys that pitched recently or pitched or this was an issue with you. What do you think when you hear him complaining about the baseballs? And it seems like there's been more and more over the past couple of years.
Yeah, this has been an issue for a long time. And this is even an issue when I was playing that we tried to discuss. The balls were and continue to be more slick because they don't rub them up properly. And that's part of this whole thing like pine tar and sticky stuff that they always check pitchers before they come off the mound, before every inning, after every inning. But there's clubhouse guys that rub these baseballs down, and some of them are just teenagers that are getting paid nothing or interns or whatever, and they're told to rub these baseballs down, and they try and do their best job. But the baseballs are a problem, and they've been a problem for a while, and it is an issue because pitchers need to be able to control the baseballs for effective pitches, but also for safety. But there isn't enough grip on them naturally. If you just take a ball out of its wrapper and play with it and try to pitch with it, there needs to be some sort of substance on there to be able to allow for grip.
So there's no uniform. I remember being in the clubhouse. You see one of the clubbies over there rubbing up the baseballs. Right. But like there's no.
They tried to hire Nate to do that. He said, "Look, here, I'm a reporter.
I got a lot of experience
back
rubbing balls,
me,
but
right.
you know,
I'm not doing it.
It's there's no like standards and like somebody checks to make sure that they're all rubbed up adequately, you know.
Well, they're not going to go through a baseball game. Yeah. Over 250 balls, I think, in one game are used, so they're not going to go through every single individual ball.
Yeah.
But they try to rub them up to the best of their ability, but there's a lot of, you know, they're way too slick.
And they were getting pissed off at Jansen because he kept things. Nope.
Yeah.
Back.
And I don't blame him.
Right?
I mean, these pitches are important. Every single pitch you throw is important.
Well, yeah,
so,
when you're a closer.
Yeah. And then when you're throwing out balls to him that he's just they're slick and you're not. And I was a guy. I get a lot of crap. I was a guy who licked my fingers all the time on the mound and, you know, wiped it off. But I just to be able to create a little bit of moisture and feel like I had control over the ball was important.
Did you ever use anything else, either spider tack or anything
no,
else?
No, no. I mean, pine tar, or not pine, but just rosin.
Right.
And I licked my fingers quite a bit just because I had to feel like I could feel there's a little bit of grip there to be able to control the baseball. And, you know, that's what a lot of these guys, you see them take their glove off and really rub it with both hands because they want to feel a little bit of that moisture or a little bit of just anything to grab the ball onto because a slick ball, it's impossible to throw.
So I had somebody that talks to a lot of pitchers that was listening to us. We had when we were talking to it was Boddicker, I think, and heard us talking about does the pitch clock, is that contributing to injuries? Is it the fact that pitchers can no longer use spider tack, and so they're having to put more torque and work even harder to get more spin on the ball? And he reached out to me that day and said, pitch clock, no, that's crap.
Right.
If they want to really look at it, taking away the ability to use spider tack, that's a big deal, because a lot of pitchers that depended on that to put more spin on the ball now have to just do something differently, okay? And then also, he said, again, the obsession with velocity, talked about the use of weighted balls, and how so many kids and so many coaches of young kids are just so hyper-focused on velocity instead of a feel for pitching.
Yep.
And even Pedro Martinez had all these tweets essentially saying the same thing. So when you hear that, and he said, look, baseball doesn't care. They don't care about the injuries, because at the end of the day, what they want is more offense.
Right.
And that's what they're getting.
Did you guys get a chance to watch that video I sent you about Verlander's quotes? Yeah, Verlander had said it amazingly, and that's after watching it and thinking more about what we talked about last week with you guys. Verlander was spot on, and it's a trickle-down effect.
And what did he say for people that didn't?
So Verlander was speaking about further depths about pitchers no longer have to go through the lineup three times. It's once or twice through the lineup, and by the fifth and the third or sixth inning, pitchers are being looked at like, hey, let's get them out of the game and get our bullpen going. And so with that's why you have velocities that have increased. You've had breaking balls. So breaking balls is a huge part of it. There's more breaking balls thrown than fastballs now. And so breaking balls creates a lot of torque on the elbow and the wrist, and so that's a lot of ligaments being put to stress. But you do that over time, and you extrapolate that over, minor leagues and then high school and then these travel baseball teams. Kids are no longer expected, and minor league players are no longer expected. Big league pitchers are no longer expected to go six innings or deep in the game and go through the lineup three times. And so you're not expected to pitch and learn how to pitch without your fastest velocity at every single pitch, because you're not going to have to do that. So it's just it was really a well said thing by Verlander, and it was pretty poignant.
And he would be a guy you would listen to.
Yeah.
when it comes to pitching longevity and everything else. We had to take a quick break. You hang out.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, this is Scott Carroll, former Major League pitcher, straight out of Liberty, is with us in studio. We'll be right back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Royals lose 2 out of 3 to the Mets, including 2-1 yesterday, despite an excellent pitching performance from Cole Reagans and a home run from Vinny Pasquantino. Now they play the White Sox again tonight, 6:40 first pitch at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago, with Seth Lugo on the mound for the Royals against one of Jake's favorite pitchers, Nick Nastrini, who's... As soon as Jake finds out who that is, he'll be one of his favorite pitchers. Right. Look, Royals are 10-6. White Sox are 2-13, including an awful 1-7 record at home. And so the Royals should be able to take care of business, win this series. I know they just swept the White Sox 4 games, but it's hard to keep sweeping teams in baseball. Even the bad teams get wins here and there. And so go in with the mindset you're going to win this series on the road, make up for what happened with the Mets, and then you'll get ready for a rematch against the Baltimore Orioles, this time at Kauffman Stadium. And so Seth Lugo has been very, very good. He's one of those. And look, we've talked about this with the Royals in the offseason. There were other pitchers, and even Scott Sharp talked about this on the show with us, there were other pitchers that they went after and were very aggressive going after first before they landed on Lugo and Waka. And one of them, I could tell you, was Lucas Giolito. They made a strong offer to, and he never made it out of spring training and hurt his elbow. I know they went after Marcus Stroman. They went after Jack Flaherty. And so sometimes it's good old-fashioned luck, right?
Absolutely.
Who you end up with. And look, we don't know if they're going to stay healthy the whole year long, but boy, it sure looks like Lugo and Waka belong. And especially Lugo's been, from your perspective of a former pitcher in the majors, we talked to Scott Sharp about this. He just looks so effortless. He's a really good athlete, and he shows that with his delivery. It doesn't look like he's Mac, you know, he's putting max effort out there, very relaxed, you know, and he's a really good example for some of these young pitchers, as far as we talk about the feel for pitching and being able to go out there and, you know, obviously be focused and be locked in, but also get the most out of what you got.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love his stuff. Like you say, he's poised. He's a very, very repeatable delivery. He's got good stuff and very athletic off the mound, like you're saying. So, yeah, I've been very, very intrigued and impressed with him, his start so far, and I think he's going to continue to, because he has a really good arsenal of different breaking pitches and also just can locate his fastball really well.
We hear pitchers, coaches talk about that a lot, especially when they're talking about prospects and draft prospects. He has a repeatable delivery, and that seems like obvious. Well, of course you will, but digging a little bit deeper there, when you're talking about that, how important is that? Because for some people, for some pitchers, it's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, it's definitely not, and that's what we work to strive to do as a top-of-the-line pitcher. So when you're throwing pitches, you want to try and have a consistent release point with all of your pitches so the hitters can't know, you know, on certain pitches he drops down to this level or he has a higher arm slot on certain pitches. So you want to be able to throw almost all of your pitches from the same arm slot, but also a repeatable delivery, meaning like you can be athletic and also powerful, forceful, going down the mound and throwing a pitch with the same consistency and able to control your body. So that's some of the things that they look for.
Did you ever have, when you were pitching, when you came up with the White Sox, were there any veteran guys that acted as a mentor towards you or tried to help you out? Because that's another conversation that we've had. They brought in guys like Waka and Seth Lugo and Will Smith to be veteran leaders, not only on the field but also in the clubhouse. Did you have any guys that helped you when you got to the majors?
Absolutely, yeah. I had a couple. They were lefties, though, which is interesting. So I was close with Chris Sale and John Danks.
Chris Sale.
Yeah. And so when I came into – obviously, I came in the team was already kind of established, but – they were older, the group of players on the team. It was Paul Konerko's last year on the team, Adam Dunn's last year on the team. So some older veteran presence, but the pitching staff was kind of needing some production. But, yeah, Danks and Sale were really good mentors to me and helped bring me along the way.
Also, I think Adam Eaton was on the team.
He was on the team.
Right, this is an endearing term. How much of a red ass was Adam Eaton?
He was a pretty red ass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He was like, what's that mean? You were, like, what was
he just, man, he had a way of getting under your skin. You're just like, damn, you're kind of pissing me off right now.
You're not the only person that said that. I've heard that a lot about Adam Eaton. But, like, it seems like, you know, teams want him. I mean,
he's productive. He's athletic. Right? Yeah, he's you know, he's a lefty that can, you know, hit for a little bit of power, but he plays a good outfield. And he was a producer, so he had some skills and talent. He would just find a way to pick on some guys, and it would just be like, man, you're being really annoying right now.
Well, you know what Mike Boddicker's nickname was, right?
What was that?
The Tick.
The Tick.
Because that he
liked to get under your skin.
Yeah, okay. He wanted to bother everybody. I want to go back to Chris Sale for a second, because like we were talking about in the last segment, you mentioned, you know, pitchers not being conditioned to go deep into games anymore. I remember when he was drafted, it was like a lot of people wondered if he could be a big league starter because he's 6'6", 180 pounds. He was so long and lanky. Oh, he's not going to have the stamina to go deep into games. That a lot of people thought he'd have to be a reliever. And in today's baseball, this is really saying something. He pitched over 200 innings, one, two, three, four different times. He pitched 226 innings in 2016. to me, that kind of goes to show right there. You don't know who's going to be durable and who's not as a pitcher.
Absolutely not. And remember, they when Mark Pryor came out of college, they said he has the greatest mechanics we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they're just like, wow, this is him. And then he had surgery shortly after that. So, like, there is no rhyme or reason necessarily to when guys get the surgery or if they do have to have it. It just, when you throw a baseball over your head at such a high velocity and such high energy, that it's not a natural thing that human beings do. And so it's all about trying to maintenance and minimize, you know, risk of injury by taking care of your body, your shoulder, and your elbow.
You remember the debate about Tim Lincecum?
Yeah.
That was the one I remember because they were still split. There were some teams like, he's got no shot at lasting. And he didn't, still 10 years.
Oh, he went out and won two Cy Youngs, right?
Over 1,600 innings. But when he was good.
Oh, he was electric.
He was incredible. But then he fell off, and then it caught up with him. But still, pretty damn good for a while.
And think about the opposite characters we're talking about here. Lincecum, 5'11", 170.
Right.
Sale, 6'6", 180.
Yep.
And the idea with Lincecum was guys that are under 6 feet tall, it's too hard. They don't have the arm angle. And the big thing that they knocked him for was he had been at a college where he threw a ton of innings in college. And there were guys, the Royals had drafted some guys that had thrown, hey, if you got a guy that's coming out of college and his college manager threw him too much, he's not going to hold up. He's going to have problems. And then he goes out and, you know, and it's
shoves.
Incredible. Yeah, shoves.
That's very good.
Thank you, Scott.
And then you also think about, like, what an unbelievable athlete. All these guys are great athletes, but some are at different levels, like Zach Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
And look at his longevity. I mean, even for even great athletes, that's, you know, how long he pitched and how he was able to avoid injury for so long and pitch at such a high level. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you brought Pryor, I think you like Kerry Wood.
Yeah,
there could be a big old Texan. You could just, he's going to be like Nolan Ryan or Roger Clemens, and he'll be able to pitch forever. And then he couldn't. It's very difficult to predict durability. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. All right, we need, whenever Scott Carroll comes in here, we need an update on one of your VIP clients, Mr. Jake Gutierrez. Where are we at in this? Again, tell people your credentials and tell people where we are in this process, because we're following along on this journey.
Oh yeah, we're getting them financially approved.
Ah,
working on getting them in front of the right houses. We haven't been out to see any houses yet. I don't want to get us hooked.
Send me a good looking house over the weekend to take a look at.
Already went sold, so can't get that one.
It's
we gotta go through the proper steps.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're getting them approved.
Yeah,
is that
working,
right?
Working on getting them approved.
You need me to.
Help from 810.
Letter of recommendation.
Yep, see, we're gonna need a lot of that. A lot of letters. We're gonna need a lot of 810 help here.
We need. Getting some papers in order.
Yeah.
And, prove that I work here and that I'm getting paid.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, okay then. We're off to a good start.
Steven's like, that's news to me.
You need anything notarized? Like, what are we? That's what we're talking about. So is this?
We're on the right path.
It's. This sounds like the case is challenging, but it maybe keeps.
No, this
you,
is normal.
Keeps you sharp. Keeps you ready.
Completely normal. And as we, especially like you're saying,
is that really completely
normal?
Well,
he's not. But this process.
Who wants to be normal?
There, right.
Yeah, normal's boring.
Has he made any wild demands? Like, okay, well, I
need
to have
this. Yeah, he asked me
to
throw. He said, "Hey, every house we go into, you got to throw a bullpen to me to make sure there's enough space."
Wow, that's fine.
I used to catch back in the day.
Because I know he went. I'm sure he went to a certain space for his cold tub and things like that.
Yep.
All right. Anything else? Any other special requests you're looking?
No, I'm pretty flexible.
Are you?
Yeah. I can touch my toes.
Yeah.
Place for an ice bath.
All right.
Do you need a panic shelter or anything like that in your house?
No, I can have that built.
Can you?
Yeah.
But if Scott finds one that
that'd be
already,
ideal.
That might be, any kind of underground nuclear shelter or something like that.
Happenings in the world now. I mean,
do you prefer a pool or a pond? Pond be better for you, right?
Pool,
absolutely. So tell people how they can get a hold of you if they need your help, Scott.
Yeah. I'm licensed in both Kansas and Missouri. Scott Carroll of Van Noy Real Estate. We're off of 8700 State Line, just on Leewood side. But call or text me anytime, 816-304-4068 or 913-320-0076. Would love to help you.
His new tagline is going to be, and it's going to be a picture of you, and you kind of look, pointing to Jake, if I can help this guy, yeah. I can help anybody. Or I can help you.
Right.
And Jake's like, oh, no. Hey, Scott, always good to have you in here, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Love being in here.
That's a former Major League pitcher and current close confidant of Jake Gutierrez, Scott Carroll. I don't know how he accepts that title, but it's going to stick. Have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.